There's a great song, "My people shall humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven." Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. That's where we'll be today, Romans chapter 12. I have a pastor friend over in Maryland. It's true, I do have a friend, and he's a great man, but he taught his church, or didn't teach, but he and his church memorized Romans chapter 12, and they did that for a number of months and then would say it from memory, and it's a great, great chapter in the Word of God. And let's look at this chapter. Before we get into chapter 12, if you look at chapter 11, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Verse 36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." With that principle, we come to chapter 12. And it starts out, Paul says, "I beseech ye, therefore." What's the therefore? It's for what we just read in chapter 11. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And it certainly is reasonable. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." And it goes on. We'll read a few more verses, but every one of these verses is so powerful. Verse 9, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Boy, that's a list. Amen. "Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." And then the last verse, powerful. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Therefore, because of God's goodness, because of his mercies, because of his power, therefore, all of this is evident in our life. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, bless your word today. Thank you for it. I pray that the living word would just so speak to our hearts today. Thank you for giving us this book. In Jesus' name, amen. That's for this reason or that reason. Therefore, what's it there for? Referring to something that has been previously stated. In the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 14, there's a master, and he tells his servants to go out and invite people to this great feast. And you've heard this or read it before, I'm sure, and one said, "Well, I've got some oxen, I have to go prove them. Excuse me, I cannot come." They all made excuses. And another one says, "I bought some land and I have to go see where it is." Dumb. And so I can't come. But the Bible says here, the third excuse was, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. It really puts that in perspective. I've done this, therefore I can't do this. So here's the statement, and this is how we respond to the statement. That is a bad excuse. Amen? I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. And that's what they all were. They were just bad reasoning. Why do we do what we do? Why do we say what we say? There's healthy responses and unhealthy responses. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God speaks to his people through Moses in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day that I have set before you life and death. That's what God is saying. And he says, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. That's God's instruction. Here's the choice. It could be good or bad. It could be righteous or unrighteous. But he says, choose life. Therefore, choose life. Why would we do that? Because God gives us life. Amen? We choose what God blesses us with and what he gives us. And we do that because God's word is true. So when he says something, choose this. This is the way, walk ye in it, or whatever, however he describes that, that is the best choice. And therefore, because we believe in God, we believe that's the best choice. Amen? If you have the choice to obey God or disobey God, what would you choose? Kind of a no-brainer. Amen? Little audience involvement here. What would you choose? To obey God, disobey God?
Obey.
Good. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. So therefore, we would choose life. We would choose God. We would choose the Bible, of course. Psalm 116:10, David said this, I believed, therefore have I spoken. What's coming out of my mouth is what I believe. That's why I'm saying it. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul refers to this verse, and he says, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. And so Paul had a ministry. He went around sharing the gospel, preaching the word of God, ministering to people. Why did he do that? Because he believed that would help them. And he believed it was the word of God. Amen? So our faith and our belief dictate how we live our life. Amen? We choose that. We have a response. And we have a reason for responding the way we do to life. I believed, therefore. We also believe, therefore. We believe the Bible. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. So if we believe that, God is a rewarder of those that seek him, we seek him. Amen? So that's the therefore. What is the therefore? Because God is so good. I don't know if you remember these. Maybe you do, and maybe there's more to add to this. But your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You ever hear that before? Actions speak louder than words. You know, you have all of these things. So what we really believe, if our faith is strong, and what we believe about God, what's it there for? What is that story there for? What is that promise there for? So we can act upon it. And God can bless our lives because he does. We can trust God's word to be true. Therefore, we trust the outcome. Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. We believe that. So we have the word of God. Thy word is truth. We have Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Therefore, we have hope. So when we talk about salvation, we know where we're going to end up someday because we've received Christ as our Savior. Amen? We're on our way to heaven. We can, some days I really don't feel it. Some days I have doubts. Some days, did I say the prayer the right way? Did I believe enough? You know? And the Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's pretty easy. And children can get saved. Amen? And so when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we have that promise that God gives us. And that's our future. But what about right now? Right now. Because where the sweet by and by is not here yet, it's the nasty now and now. It's a tough life, isn't it? But God wants to help us get through it. I need all the help I can get. Anybody ever get discouraged? You ever get discouraged? Okay, nobody but me. Sometimes you're very encouraged, right? Sometimes you have great peace, and it passes understanding. And that there's other times you're frustrated. Anybody here ever get frustrated? Okay, nobody? Boy, you guys are doing really well. I think I'll go sit there and you come up here and preach. But, I mean, we have these things in our life, and God gives us a promise. God gives us some instruction. God says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so what we believe really helps us to appropriate these things from God. I believe, therefore, I have hope. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. So we remember what God said, therefore we have hope. We have in the same chapter, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him. So God is the answer. Amen. Jesus is the answer. Going to the scripture, putting our faith and trust in the word of God. Just reading the Bible, you're clean. It's the word of comfort. Psalm 43 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he's the help of my countenance. So why are we cast down? Hope thou in God. Here's the problem. Here's the solution. Therefore, we take that solution. I believe, therefore, I will serve, I will have hope, I will obey, I will trust, I will sing, I will praise, because I believe. That gives us that faith. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The joy of being a Christian. Amen? There are trials, and there are times that we weep, but there is a joy of our salvation. And David said, restore that unto me, because he's the only one that can do that. I want to look at this principle a little bit, cause and effect. And some things cause bad effects. Reaping and sowing. If we sow the wrong thing, we reap the wrong thing. So God brings us back to, according to your faith, be it unto you. Faith is what changes our heart and our actions, right? We're hearers of the word, but we're not hearers only. We're doers of the word, and therein is the blessing. In Exodus chapter 4, God comes to Moses. You're familiar with the story. And he says to Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And Moses said, uh-oh, go to Pharaoh. And he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And boy, Moses is thinking about that one. And he comes up with this. This is in Exodus chapter 4. He says, I am not eloquent. I am of slow speech, of a slow tongue. And God says to him, but I made your mouth. If you read chapter 4, I made your tongue. I did that. And so I'm telling you to do something that I have put that in you. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Amen? Well, I could never talk to anybody about the Lord. God says, I made your mouth. You know, I made your tongue. You can do this. And eventually, Moses did go, and God gave him Aaron, and there was a great deliverance because of that. And that's such a blessing when that happens. Exodus 4:12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now therefore go. I made you, I created you, I've given you a purpose in life. Amen? I've given you the gospel. You're a Christian. Now go, and I will put the words in your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. I think that's great. 1 Samuel chapter 1, Elkanah had two wives. He had Hannah and Penina, I think that's how you pronounce it. And his one wife, Penina, had children. Back in that day, if a woman was barren, that was bad. That was embarrassing for them. Hannah had no children. And so she begged God that he would give her a child. And God did. God gave her Samuel. He became a great prophet. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she said this. She said, "For this child I prayed. I was barren, and God gave me this child." So she was happy about that. In verse 28, "Therefore, because God gave me this child, I have lent him to the Lord." Children are a heritage of the Lord. It's a blessing. Amen? And we can thank God for those children. So that's what we do then. We're a thankful heart. Amen? Because God has done that for us. Luke chapter 10. Jesus, in verse 1, Jesus appoints 70 disciples. And he says, "Go out two by two. And I want you to go before me into the cities that I'm going to minister. Go two by two." And then he says in verse 2, "Therefore said he unto them," because he already gave them a commission, "The harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye," here comes another one, "there, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." So the harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of people that need to be saved, but the laborers are few. There's not a lot of people involved in winning them to the Lord. "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Amen. And that's what the church should be doing. We should be praying for people to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, what is it therefore? We have Isaiah 50. Jesus speaks prophetically in Isaiah 50 and verse 6. "I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint." And he went to that cross and died for our sins, knowing that God would sustain him. Amen? Therefore. What is it therefore? I know, therefore. We know a lot of Bible. You know a lot of Bible? Amen? We know a lot of Bible. We're in Bible preaching churches. We read our Bibles every day. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. We know the Bible. And if we believe the Bible, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We seek him in prayer. We seek him in the scripture. We ask for guidance in our life. "If any man lack wisdom, ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." Okay, he will give you wisdom if you ask him. Therefore, I will ask him. Amen? The therefore is important. We have to act upon the word of God. In Matthew 28:8, by the way, the Bible talks about the comfort of the scriptures. If you need comfort, boy, this is the book to go to. And specifically the book of Psalms, that works for me. If you need encouragement, get into the word. If you need peace, get into the Bible, because these words speak peace to us. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Do you believe that? He's omnipotent. He's all powerful, right? The next verse, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I'm all powerful. Go and preach the word of God. There's a verse, Isaiah 55:11, and it says, "So shall my word be," important verse, "that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." His word will not come back void. Therefore, let's give the word out. Amen? And the timing, you never know the timing. You could witness to somebody today, they might not receive Christ for 10 years, 20 years, 10 minutes. But he says, give the word out. It will not return void. I'm preaching this message today. I don't know what part is important to you or what part you're getting or you're focused on, but I know this, as I preach the word, all that matters is I'm preaching the word. Amen? And then you can receive, the wonderful words of life, you can make that life in your own heart. You can use it today to be challenged and go home and witness to somebody. Go to work tomorrow and witness to somebody, because that word will not return void. And because of that, we witness. Therefore. There's a song entitled "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." I don't know if you've ever heard it. And just relax, I'm not going to sing it, amen, praise the Lord, but I want to read these verses, and they are so good. Think of the souls that you have won to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're in heaven now. Think of that. Just want you to think of it, just for a moment. Think of the face, the person that you personally won to the Lord, and they're in heaven. Also, think of maybe all the people that are in heaven because of your involvement in missions or a church or giving the gospel out, and that you have not personally won but are probably going to be in heaven because you had an influence on their life. And that's what this song is about. It says, I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the golden streets beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. And he goes on and says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money. You gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Think of that. You know, we put the missions letters out on the board out there, read them, see what God is doing in the lives of our missionaries and so many other missionaries, and we support those, and we have a part. There's fruit that abounds to our account, the Bible tells us. One by one they came. If you can imagine this, one day when you go to heaven, one by one they came, far as the eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know that up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, he said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Great is your reward. This life is not all there is. If I only have hope in this life, or of all men most miserable. But there's a future. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Jesus said he went to the cross for joy he gave his life. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One day, we're going to close our eyes, we're going to die. Either rapture or death, amen? But for the Christian, we're going to be with the Lord in heaven. But think of this, think of all the people that will be there because of what we did down here. I don't know what it's going to be like, you know. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. I just know it's going to be good. And so, what's the saying? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We have such opportunities. There's another song, My Savior First of All. When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. The last verse to that says, oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vales of Eden they shall sing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I think of Bob Lynn. I think of seeing him. And what a blessing that is, amen, to know where he is today. I shall know him. and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. I will close with this story about the Apostle Paul. And I want you to think about this with me. The Apostle Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9, and he saw the Lord, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus says, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." And so there, Paul accepted Christ as his Savior. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Jesus revealed himself, and then he said, "What wilt thou have me to do? Who are you, and what do you want me to do?" From that point on, Paul was a fireball. Amen. He just served the Lord with all of his heart, and that is such a blessing. But in Acts chapter 14, he's on a missionary journey, and he ends up in Lystra, city of Lystra. And while he's there, the Jews came. This is verse 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." They stoned him. That's what happened to Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Remember, they stoned Stephen, calling on the name of the Lord, and he had the face of an angel, and he said, "Lay not this sin to their charge." And he was a great, great man of faith. But they stoned Stephen, and he died. If somebody was stoned, that was it. Amen? I mean, you can't imagine all that happened to his body there. And it says that they supposed that he died. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, Paul is talking about the history of his life. "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned." He remembers back to this time in Lystra that he was stoned. We come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and if you'll turn there with me, I want to read a couple verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And think with me about this portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." He's going to be speaking about himself now here. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." He's referring back to that time 14 years ago in Lystra when he was stoned and left for dead. And he's saying here that that was his description of what happened to him. We know that in Acts chapter 14, after his disciples came and he was raised again, he went right back into Lystra. That's where they just killed him. And then after Lystra, he went with Barnabas to Derbe. And then after Derbe, they went right back to Lystra and preached the gospel again. He was unstoppable. He was unstoppable. Why? He believed something. He had seen something. It had changed his life. Amen? And I want to read these verses. Paul said, he's in Acts chapter 20. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And all of his friends are saying, "Man, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to put you to death there." And he said, "Well, if they do, I'll be in heaven." Amen? But he said, "I believe this is what God wants me to do." And God gave him strength. But it says there in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he said, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." Who would say something like that? He must have had such a calling, such an assurance. "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." It was beyond this life. Amen? He said in Philippians 1:23, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He's talking about heaven. You have 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He had that desire. I just want to serve God because I believe this is all true. I believe that God can use me in this life. I believe he can use me however. It's not a life of ease. It's a life of sacrifice and service for the Lord, however he chooses for me. I want to be faithful in giving his word out because that's what's important. Amen? It's not about just meeting the physical needs of people in life. It's meeting their spiritual needs because one day we're all going to face that. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And it's not just about us. It's about our loved ones, our neighbors, our friends, all those we come in contact with. 2 Timothy 4:6. This is the end of Paul's life. He's a prisoner in Rome. He's writing a letter to Timothy, a young preacher trying to give him instruction. And he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Remember, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that's given to all those that love his appearing. Paul says, I've finished my course, man. I've kept the faith. I've honored God with my life. And there's a reward. There's a crown. And remember, all those crowns we're going to lay at the Lord's feet. Amen? Do you believe that? I believe it. That's why we serve the Lord. That's why we praise God. That's why we give out the gospel, because we know that it's not just this life. There's a therefore. What is it there for? Here's what's spoken. If we believe it, then we should live it. Amen? I think that's a great, great thing. We love God because he first loved us. We love God. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Unto you which believe, he is precious. Why is he precious? Because we believed. There's a therefore to a truth. The truth is therefore for a reason. Amen. Heaven. I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? Because of the promise of eternal life that Jesus Christ gave me. 1 John chapter 5. We know that we have eternal life, right? It says we know. And Christ is our Savior. Okay, I know that about me. You ever talk to somebody and say, are you a Christian? Well, yeah. You going to heaven when you die? I don't know. We know. They say, I don't know. There's two groups of people in the Bible. There's believers and there's unbelievers. Amen? I'm a believer. Amen? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God puts a believer who's the light of the world next to an unbeliever who's living in darkness, and there's a reason for that. Amen? And he says, I will be with your mouth. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. I will teach you what you need to say. My word won't return void. You might get it messed up. You might not say it exactly right. Just give my word out. Just memorize a couple Bible verses. Amen? And start telling people about Jesus. Amen? Therefore, I've been so kind to you. I've been so merciful to you, God says. I blessed your life. Therefore, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and perfect will of God. And on down through chapter 12. Read Romans chapter 12 today at another time. I challenge you to do that. See what God says to you. Amen? But we serve him because we love him. I'm going to heaven. I want to take as many people with me as I can take. Amen? My dad's there. My mom's there. My older brother's there. Praise the Lord. And I see the faces of people. That song means so much to me, that you see that line. And there's people going to be in heaven that you've had a part in their salvation you've never met before. Never met. They were on a mission field. Maybe they were a native in New Guinea, where Sarah ministers. Maybe they were a Russian, and with all the turmoils going on And our dear brother is still there in church doing his work because we help. Amen? I hope the message has touched your heart, because if it has and you believe it, it'll produce another soul on their way to heaven. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you'd increase our faith. I pray that because of your goodness, we would desire to honor you. I pray that because of the truth of your word, we would be willing to give it out. The power of your word can change so many lives. Almighty God, work in us today. Thank you for the special that was played on the piano. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. God, we believe that. I pray we'd humble ourselves because of that. I pray we'd serve you. Bless your word now during this invitation and the rest of this day. May Romans chapter 12 become familiar to us. In Jesus' name, amen.